You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Sadra Shepherd grew up in a multicultural Boston family with a white Protestant father from Colorado and a Muslim mother from Pakistan. But she didn't realize just how multicultural her family really was until she traveled to India and Pakistan in search of her beloved grandmother's mysterious roots. She tells the story in a memoir from Penguin called The Girl from Foreign, and I'm very pleased that she could join me today. Hello.
Hello.
Were there other people you knew in Boston when you were growing up who had as diverse roots as you had, at least what you thought your diverse roots were at the time?
Well, I feel very lucky to have grown up in a home and in a community that was very, very welcoming to people who had different influences in one home. I certainly had friends growing up who had one parent who was perhaps Jewish and one parent who was Christian, or one parent who was from another country. But I did not. It wasn't. It felt normal to me. It wasn't until I went to India that I realized that was perhaps an unusual way to grow up.
Had your grandparents on both sides been okay with the marriage between your parents?
I think it was. My parents got married in 1973 in Denver, and I think initially it had been there was an adjustment on both sides.
How had they met?
My parents met. My mother came to this country in 1961 as a foreign exchange student to Manhattan, Kansas, on the American Field Service scholarship program, and she spent a good deal of time in the American Midwest, initially to escaping an arranged marriage back home, and then furthering her education. And she fell very much in love with my father. They met at Yale in art and design, and went back to Pakistan determined to live her life there. And my father followed her there, and spent a year there studying the Quran and studying Indian classical music, and is generally trying to convince my mother to come back and move to America.
And then she did. And had your grandmother moved to the United States by the time you were born?
My grandmother, Nana, moved to the United States to help my parents raise me. Mm-hmm. And our relationship really began before I was born. And I always felt a tremendous connection with her because of that.
You describe yourself as having three parents and three religions. But were you aware of the three religions when you were growing up?
My mother and father did a really wonderful job of introducing my brother Qasim and I to both of their religions and cultures. And in our home, those traditions were always centered around food. My parents are wonderful cooks and entertainers, and they always endeavored to fill our home with a wonderful mix of artists and writers and professionals from all over the world. It wasn't until I then realized that I'm sorry, I lost your question.
I was asking about the three different religions.
Thank you. And after I discovered that my grandmother was Jewish,
Did she tell you one day?
When I was 13 years old, I was going through some of my grandmother's papers, and I discovered a small velvet box. And I opened the box. I was intrigued by it, and I found inside a small pin, and the pin said to Rachel Jacobs, and I was intrigued by the name. It wasn't a name that I was familiar with, and I said to my grandmother, "Nana, who is Rachel Jacobs?" And she said, "That was my Jewish name. That was my name before I was married." And that was the moment that I realized that my grandmother had not been born Muslim and Pakistani like the rest of my mother's family, but in fact had been born into another tradition entirely.
A Jewish community that you'd think we'd know more about because it is so interesting and its history is so interesting.
The B'nai Israel is a tiny group of Jews in Western India who believe they were shipwrecked there 2,000 years ago.
They were a lost tribe or post-lost tribe?
They believe that they left Israel after the destruction of the Second Temple, and no one knows where they were headed, what their original intention had been, but they believe that they settled into villages on the Konkan coast between Bombay and Goa and settled peacefully and amicably into Indian village life. Their traditional occupation was that of pressing local seeds into lamp oil, and they did so for hundreds of years, maintaining a distinct identity but also mingling very nicely into the world they were part of.
Well, would Jews from other parts, because there are other Jewish traditions, there's the Ashkenazic and there's the Sephardic, would either go to this community and say, oh, gee, this is pretty close, or would they see it as something quite different?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It wasn't until the early to mid-1800s there were Christian missionaries working in Bombay who heard that there was this community that rested on the Sabbath and believed in only one God. And they thought this was intriguing, that perhaps the Bnei Israel might make good Christians. And so they set up missionary schools in the area, and they began to teach the Bnei Israel the Old Testament. And when the Bnei Israel learned the stories of the Bible, they began to recognize the strains of their own oral traditions. And they
realized, so they just were doing it as an oral tradition.
Exactly. And so they recognized these stories, and it became essentially a catalyst for their increased communication with Jews in other parts of the world. They began to build synagogues and to incorporate the traditions that they had been practicing on their own into more mainstream Jewish practices.
One of your friends questioned whether anyone could be comfortable having living with all three religions because they sometimes contradict each other. So was that something that you thought much about?
Very much so. You know, when I was growing up in Newton, Massachusetts, then I was encouraged to explore these various traditions. When I was living in India, it was the first time that I had been exposed to a culture where your religious identity is part and parcel with your personal one. And it was the first time that I was forced to, as a young person and a young adult, to try and to reckon with those questions on my own. And I realized in that process that I had a lot of work to do. And one of the people that I became close with in India was a Jewish educator named Sharon. And he encouraged me many conversations to try and keep asking these questions, but that perhaps it was a little more complicated than the way that I had been raised.
But he was also suggesting that you should ultimately choose one or the other and go with that. Did you ever feel the necessity for that?
Very much so. While I was living in India, I was exploring my Jewish identity, but I was also exploring what it might feel like to choose one faith over the three that I had been exposed to as a child. During the time, the nearly 2 years that I spent there, I became a participant and an observer in Bnei Israel practices, but I also was looking internally. And I then went to Pakistan and spent time with my mother's Muslim family, which has become increasingly observant in the last decade or so, and spent time getting to know that part of my background as well. And those choices remain very present for me. And when I returned home, I realized that there was still another chapter, and I'm very much at the beginning of that one.
My guest is Sadia Shepherd, who's written a book called The Girl from Foreign, subtitled A Search for Shipwrecked Ancestors, Forgotten Histories, and a Sense of Home. And the book is published by Penguin. So you went to India. Now, you went because you wanted to figure all of this out, or was it because your grandmother actually asked you to go?
You know, before my grandmother died in 2000, she asked me to make a promise that I would someday go back to India to reconnect with the community and the way of life that she left behind. And a year after she died, I received a Fulbright scholarship to go and make a film about the community. And it was my way of trying to begin to fulfill that promise.
So you went to make a film. You wound up with a memoir.
And a film. The project began as I was doing my initial research for the film. I realized that there was very little visual documentation of the Bnei Israel, what they look like, what their practices look like, what the places that are important to them in India that they are leaving behind, and as they moved to Israel. And I began to make a series of photographs that then grew into a documentary film and now have grown into this book.
What's it like thinking that you're one thing all of your life and then finding out that the situation is really a lot more complex?
It's been a wonderful journey that I think I feel that I've been given this tremendous gift by my mother, my father, and my grandmother, exposing me to not just three religious traditions, but also three distinct cultural traditions. I'm deeply interested in religion as an expression of culture. And I'm I think especially as the world is becoming more and more fractured and religious and cultural identities are becoming more polarized, not less so, you know, I hope that this story and stories like it give voice to different ideas of bringing forward stories of plural and hyphenated identities.
How do you think the B'nai Israel community has maintained its distinct sense over all these years? Because the pressures, as you suggested, with missionaries and then just the fact that they were in an overwhelmingly Hindu area, and even the Muslim minority in India is the largest. India has the largest Muslim population in the world, doesn't it? Or second after Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's they have more Muslims than Pakistan does. The natural tendency is to assimilate or to lose distinction.
You know, it's interesting. I think it had due in large part to the religious tolerance of the Indian subcontinent. India is a federation of many, many micro-cultures. And the B'nai Israel were allowed to settle comfortably into Indian life and create traditions that are unique but also a wonderful amalgamation of both Hindu and Muslim practices.
But there was a lot of talk about going to Israel, wasn't there, leaving India?
Absolutely. The B'nai Israel community reached its height in terms of numbers in the mid-1930s, which is when my grandmother was a young adult. And after the creation of Israel in 1948, they began a large-scale community migration, which continues to this day.
You write about realizing when you were in India that you're not confined to the same rules as the other people there. Is that why the title is The Girl from Foreign, that you're never going to be any one thing?
You know, when I was living in India, I noticed that people would often refer to places outside of India as it's in foreign, or she's...
They actually say that?
Mm-hmm, or she's from foreign. And that idea always intrigued me, that foreign was a singular entity, somewhere unfamiliar that you could visit or you could be from. And much of the book is an observation of contemporary India through my eyes, through that of a young Western woman. And I wanted to preface this inquiry with a phrase that stems from how I was seen as that observer.
When you were in Pakistan, could you tell people that you were partly Jewish?
My family is obviously very aware of that side of our collective family history. But it's something that it's a part of my grandmother's life that, like so many women, when she married, that part of her identity before she became a wife and mother became subsumed by these other roles later. And so it's something that they're aware of, but it's not something that we talk openly about. And it was something that was very much on my mind when I was in Pakistan. I was going to Pakistan from India, studying Judaism in India, and then going essentially to explore my family's Islam in Pakistan.
Well, you're obviously an American first, but did you find yourself connecting more with India or Pakistan, or is that a silly question on my part?
No, not at all. I mean, when I think that because my mother's family is part of a community of what we call Muhajirs, those who migrated, Indian Muslims who have eventually settled in Pakistan. Because of my growing up as an American, I am very interested in the Indian subcontinent. I'm interested in the Indian subcontinent as a whole, and less so in the borders that have been created in the last 60 years.
Well, you can cross borders in a way that people who are born there can't.
I have that luxury. It's very true. And one that I feel very grateful for. The kind of migrations that I've been able to do in my own lifetime, it's not only a very recent phenomenon, but it's a tremendous privilege.
What's happening with the film?
My film premieres on Sunday, August 10th, at the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival.
The Jewish Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Saja Shepherd, her book, The Girl from Foreign, published by Penguin.
Thank you so much.